recognize this monument anyway?
Well, of course, absolutely. And it's where people have stayed and where people stop their journey between Cape Town and Joburg and vice versa. And it's Mikeesfontein. And when I saw the cover of that book, I thought, goodness. And it's called Empire, War and Cricket in South Africa. And I've dwelled a little bit or dwelt a little bit too much possibly on the cricket aspect because it is such an extraordinary story. But he's a social historian and a general historian as well. And he basically, what he does is he looks at empire in South Africa in terms of cricket. And that sounds convoluted, but that's what it's... He uses cricket as a device to tell us about empire. Well, once upon a time, at the turn of the last century, the then British Empire was the largest empire known to mankind, and it was at its height between the 1880s and World War I, which began in 1914. And that's the period that Dean Allen, who's a lecturer and a historian, specializing in the history and politics of sport and society, features in this book about Mikeesfontein, which one of the characters in this book actually founded, and the society featuring around the 1901 cricket tour to England. I know nothing about it. Some of you might know about it. Give us a call if you know about the 1901 cricket tour to England and why it was so controversial. So my first question to Dean Allen in the studio yesterday was, do people know anything about Mikeesfontein beyond South Africa? When people think of Mikeesfontein, particularly people who live abroad, they don't have the faintest idea where it is because it is not even a blob on the map, but it's in the Karoo.
Yeah, it's one of those incredible places. I mean, I visited there in the late 90s. Like anybody else, I was a tourist, and I discovered this incredible village, this Victorian, perfectly preserved Victorian village in the middle of nowhere. And of course, I started to ask questions. And for some reason, nobody had written a definitive history on this place, or of course, its creator, James Logan. And it was like finding historical gold, of course, because at that stage I was at Stellenbosch University. I'd embarked on a master's degree that was looking at sport in South Africa during that period. And I'd heard of the cricket sort of folklore around Mikeesfontein and, you know, what a marvelous place it was. But to discover that nobody had written a history of Mikeesfontein and the stories that come out of the place and about the characters involved, it was quite a privilege. And, I'm so proud of this book.
Well, some of the photographs, because I know that it's very, very strong in cricket, being one of the things that sort of is tinged by empire. And some of the people who walk through the pages, Cecil Rhodes, for instance, very controversial in South Africa, but Cecil Rhodes, part of our history. And here we've got this extraordinary story of cricket being played by native South Africans in 1901, this amazing test match, and all sorts of shenanigans going on. And the man behind it, this, I was going to call him Finickety Scott, but I mean, I see him in every single photograph, incredibly dapper. Nothing is out of place. Living in the Karoo, which is, you know, in the backwoods, I suppose, and strutting the world stage. An absolutely extraordinary story.
James Logan is one of those characters that history has missed. And I honestly believe, I mean, you can tell from my accent, I was born in England in the West Country, and I've made South Africa my home. If James Logan had achieved what he had done back in Britain, we'd have dozens of books about him and what he'd achieved. So it's been a privilege to be able to tell this story. As you rightly say, his involvement in cricket, of course, is probably the thing that raises a lot of interest. But remember, cricket at that time, I don't write about sport per se, I write about what the game represented. Cricket was the game of the British Empire, and for James Logan, of course, it brought him social elevation. He was a working class Scot that arrived in South Africa through good fortune. He was on his way to Australia. He arrived in 1877, a 19-year-old, and by the age of 26, he set about building his own village. Why Mikeesfontein and in the Karoo? I honestly believe that he could create his own empire here. Land was cheap. He'd acquired wealth very quickly. Remember, diamonds had just been discovered, and of course, that's the undercurrent to the whole story. He'd now got to know people like Cecil Rhodes, and of course, the rest is history. But cricket itself ties into this wonderful story, hence the title Empire, War and Cricket, because that's the challenge, of course, bringing these different threads of what was happening there all together.
Why was cricket so tied up in the early years? Because I don't think cricket was played in South Africa much before, what, 1850?
Well, very good question. The first recorded cricket match actually happened in 1802. There's records in the Cape of the British military, of course, bringing sport with them. I mean, wherever the British went, they brought their sport with them. Cricket has got a slightly older history than, say, football and rugby, which were created in English public schools only as recently as the 1860s. Mm. The first ever English cricket team to visit South Africa is significant. That happened in 1889. Major Wharton's team came down here. And of course, James Logan recognized the significance of this. Cricket made news. It was the game of the empire. And he quickly got involved, of course, in bringing the next English cricket teams down here. And as you rightly said, the big story was when he took his own team in 1901, a South African team, to Britain during the South African War. And as I said, it was absolutely, I was amazed that nobody had investigated this. And it's just a part of the book that I write about.
So the interview does go on. And you can hear all of this because the book show part of Reedy's show is being podcast. So if you want to listen to the full interview, which is about 20 minutes, go along to the podcast and listen to it in your own time. But it's a really interesting book. It's filled with politics. It's filled with amazing stories of business successes and how it fitted into a changing world as the British Empire, the largest empire the world had ever known, faded. And went into World War One. But there's some astonishing photographs taken from private archives. There is one of an all-black South African cricket team playing in a concentration camp.
That was during the Anglo-Boer War.
War. And this the cricket field at Bakiesfontein is unbelievable. Mm. It's just, you have to see the pictures to understand it. It really is
incredible.
An extraordinary book.
I'm loving the intersection between politics and sports and history as well, because there's a lot of that.
That's what he does. So the book is 297 Rand in hardback. The e-book, 201. Go along to Dean Allen's website. That's Dean Allen, DeanAllen.co.za, and the title of the book, Empire, War and Cricket in South Africa.
What's next?
I just love this because I was able to go to town. So, five questions. The person I posed the questions to is Kyahd Langer, author, blogger, columnist, advertising executive, and his bio on Twitter reads, struggling womanizer, leader of the People's Army against typo Nazi, never eats black jelly babies. And I asked this clearly troubled individual five questions. So the prequel question is, if you had to market South Africa, what is the first thing that you would do?
Wow. Okay, the first thing I would do for marketing South Africa is talk about the people who were produced out of this country. You know, Hollywood, Trevor Noah, Elon Musk, who comes from this country, who's doing those Tesla cars, and also, of course, Charlize. So we are global citizens in a small country.
Why a memoir now? Why not wait until you've got more years under your belt?
Because when I was asked to write by the publishers, I felt the same way as well. But I believed that after when I was writing it, is that the story that I have is common to lots of people, and they just they never see those stories told about themselves. So I felt that I needed to tell that story.
You have an obvious love of storytelling. I can almost see you sitting around a fire. Does this come from your childhood, from your rural childhood?
Well, I mean, you know, it's so funny because I never ever saw myself as a great storyteller because my grandmother was such a great storyteller. My mother's an amazing storyteller. And my friends are amazing storytellers. And I think there may be some truth to that it comes from way back. You know, from the African tradition that of storytelling, because we didn't have a history of writing books.
Now, you have a love affair with social media. I checked your numbers this morning. I mean, nearly. I mean, yes. 212,000, nearly 213,000 followers as of this morning. What fuels the social media? What makes it sexy for you?
For me, it's really the ability to connect to people and get people talking and get people to connect with each other. Because for me, that's actually my biggest attraction. That's why I ask lots of questions on social media. But I ask questions that I know everyone has an answer to, because a lot of people are quite shy to say something on social media until, you know, you give them a reason. And then they see that, oh, maybe this is not so bad. And then they begin to participate. And I think for me, that's really the big attraction I have for social media.
Your definition of virginity in a very recent post, and this is it: when one is so vain, they only sleep with themselves. My question to you is, how do you spot a virgin? Do I look like a virgin to you?
I know I am. That's funny. I don't think I have an answer.
Okay, well, I've got to score brownie points then, because I've actually asked you a question and you haven't had the answer to it, so I feel good. So, you've got some worrying hang-ups. You are a struggling womanizer, you say. A man who won't eat black jelly babies, you say. I want to know what's going on inside that head of yours.
No, yeah, you know, I think I often want to know myself, because I always say this sometimes that, you know, I honestly, I may start a sentence, but I never know where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
So honestly, I have no idea either.
So struggling womanizer, you're not prepared to go deeper into that, because I could sit for hours and quiz you.
Oh, no, I mean, when I say struggling, it's funny, because this stupid joke I used to say, and I'd say that my father was a struggling artist. I'm a struggling womanizer. So it just comes from that.
Well, we wonder if he'll ever succeed in this womanizing
quest.
Who knows?
But I think he was enjoying himself.
Oh, yeah. Both of you were. Excuse me.
To quote myself by Kaid Langer, and the paperback, 257 Rand, the ebook, 194. And Reedy, that's it.
We in Franschhoek next week.